The tonight, I figure it's Erev Yom Kippur, in terms of Shalom Bayis Yom Kippur, there's a great parallel. It's a famous Gemara in Tainis. The Gemara says, "I'm Shimon Gamliel, lo yom tov l'Yisrael kechamisha sar ba'av u'kiyom ha'kippur." There's no greater joy than the day of Yom Kippur in Tuba. So this is a Maimer Chazal that needs a little bit of explanation. And hopefully we'll be able to give a little explanation, and this will hopefully enhance everybody's experience. So what's the amkus of this? What's the depth of this particular Maimer Chazal? Before we do that, we're going to learn a piece of Navi. Very unusual for guys sitting around to learn Navi. I was learning a Pachad Yitzchak to quote something in Navi. I had to go ask, you know, a woman what's going on. And Baruch Hashem, we got the answer. But this is a fairly popular story in Navi, and it's a critical story in understanding what we're going to do on Yom Kippur. It's like, you know, the greatest invention, I think, and the greatest Shalom Bayis invention in the last 20, 30, 40 years, I don't even know how long, is the GPS. I don't know how many you drove before there was a GPS, but if you drove before the GPS, driving was a very tense experience. But when you got all of a sudden a GPS, it's like, oh, so now you get lost, it takes you back, you're going straight, whatever it is. The GPS is always there to kind of guide you through thick and thin, whatever it is. And it's very hard to get lost, except for once we had this crazy story. We were traveling back on our road trip, and we were coming back in our RV. We were traveling for 3 weeks, and I was up in Vermont at this time. And the next destination, you hit the button for home. Great, so you get in the RV, and everybody's excited. We're going home. It's a seven-hour drive. So it goes first, make a left. Great, make a left. Good, make another left. This is weird. And then it says, then go take the ferry. I was like, toast.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a ferry up in Vermont. It got across, whatever it was. But, you know, but most of the time the GPS is great. What's the greatest of the GPS? How do we understand this Maimer Chazal about the relationship between Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av? We'll all be, as best as how it stops all the fighting in the car between husband and wife, where we're going. The GPS resolves it. But let's understand it through the prism of this particular story in Navi. The story of Malachim, Perek Yud Ches, about Eliyahu HaNavi. So Eliyahu HaNavi was challenged by Ahav, where Ahav, you know, he wasn't the greatest of kings, and he is really challenging Eliyahu, and he's sending the Nevi'ei Baal to Eliyahu to challenge him. And Eliyahu says to them, let's go, let's do this, let's finally get to the bottom of this as to who is the real Derech. And it's him, and it's the Nevi'ei Baal, and then there's like a crowd of people who are coming together. And Eliyahu says what I think is such an interesting, it's just right out of the Navi. What Eliyahu tells them is the following. How long are you going to be open on two doorways? Meaning, it wasn't that they didn't believe necessarily in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it wasn't that they didn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But They're kind of like, you know, one day I'm this, so one day I'm that. I mean, you have kids like this, right? You know, when the Jets are doing well, the Jet fans, when the Giants are doing well, the Giant fans. Well, you know, and Masai Tempo Sechal Shtesim, how long are you going to be open on two doors, and we're going to sit here, and you're going to pick between me or them? Pick a side. If I'm right, Givaldik, come to me. If they're right, then go to them. But don't play both ends of this double header, so to speak, and try to have your cake and eat it too. As Dr. Shad says, you're really not having your cake and eating it too. You're eating your cake and having it too, which is what you can't have. You can actually have your cake and eat it too. So this is the challenge that is being posed by Eliyahu HaNavi to the people who are gathering around him. And eventually, it's funny, I'm saying this by heart, but it's somewhere in the Navi. Eventually, Eliyahu has this test of the Korbanos and who's the fire is going to be taken by. And eventually the fire goes up, and Eliyahu is proven to be correct. And at that moment, what do the people say? The people, it was like they had such an ayin fal. They report the words, Hashem u'alakim, Hashem u'alakim. That's it. We're no longer, the response was, we're no longer poseach al shnei tzif, we're no longer by two different places. We now have a direction. Our direction is clear. Ah, tremendous. Meaning, before that, it wasn't a lack of belief, so to speak. It was like, whatever was convenient, we'll do it. Whatever wasn't convenient, we won't do it. Now we see clear, there's a certain clarity of vision, so to speak, when this fire came down. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. And it's no coincidence we say this, at these words, at the very end of Yom Kippur. The same clarity that the people have in the Navi is what the entire object of Yom Kippur is. Let me explain. It's a very well-known expression, but it's a very little-known source. We all say this following, right? Ein simcha ela. So most boys will say, Ein simcha ela b'basar v'yayin, right? But really, well, another expression that we say, it's a mesudas David of all things, in Mishlei. The pasuk is more naim yismach leiv. When you lighten up your eyes, you'll be glad in your heart. So what does the mitzvah explains? Ha'aris einayim b'davar ha'mesupik. If you get enlightened in your eyes with something that you had doubt about, yismach leiv, your heart is going to be happy. Why? Ki ein ba'olam simcha. There's no greater joy in the world. Not like meat. Kataris hasveikus. Like the clarification of doubt. You know, you're vacillating. You know, you ever have this? You have like a big decision to make. We'll talk about the biggest decision everybody made in their lives, probably, right? And you sit, and you huck, and it's weighing on you. You don't know what to do. Bam. But the moment you figure out what your decision is, that's a great simcha. Ein simcha elakat, ein ba'olam simcha elakat taris asfekis. There's no greater joy than the clarification of doubt. Clarification, being in doubt stinks. What do you use doubt? You're dark. It's impossible to see something. But when you're able to finally get through, so there's that terrace. And that's what's going on in the story in Malachim. Where Eliyahu HaNavi challenges them and they're sitting on two zivim, and bam! Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. And this is what Yom Kippur is about. Because our eyes are not enlightened. The whole year, we live in darkness. Right? It's not pashas. That throughout the year, there's different things that happen. We're busy with our lives, and everybody here works for a living and does something for a living, and there are challenges, and there's a lack of clarity, and our GPS is not set to the proper destination. So the Mesillas Yesharim says there's really two kinds of darkness that we need to be enlightened. The first darkness we all know, and that's clear. That's this darkness where your lights are off and you can't see anything. And, you know, everybody's aware of that darkness and is aware of that particular danger, so to speak. But there's another kind of darkness, which is a much more insidious darkness than Mesillas Yesharim writes about. And that's, you know, a darkness where you could see things, but you don't see them clear. Right? You ever try walking around without your glasses? You know, my good friend Lavi Greenspan, I own a phone call. But like this summer, I showed up to Camp Cayley. I was speaking in Camp Cayley. And the first thing I saw when I got there was Lavi Greenspan driving around in a golf cart. Now, that's a pretty scary thing. That's a different kind of darkness. Lavi brings more light to the world than anybody I know. But there's a darkness where you could see something, but you can't see exactly what it really is. I had a friend. When you learn in yeshiva, you do the funniest thing. So he used to sit in the front row, and he used to look at the tzedakah box. And he used to play a game. I don't know. This is like, you know, with himself. That if he'd close his eyes with one eye and he'd look to the right, he'd see, he thought it was a refrigerator. Like, you know, you've been learning for a couple too many hours. You need to take a couple of breaks. But, you know, he liked food a lot. But when you have this darkness, that's not a real darkness, it's an insidious darkness. So sometimes we see things that we think are clear, but really aren't clear. This is what the whole year is like. Where we're running around, and we don't see things clear. Things are busy. We don't spend, you know, whatever it is. And the full picture is not really in front of us at all times. So what's Yom Kippur? Right, what's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, there's such clarity. You know, the Medrash says we're like the Malachim. What does it mean like the Malachim? Malachim, we don't eat, we don't drink. The Yetzirah is removed. Where's the darkness coming from? It's coming from the Yetzirah. I like food, I like this, I like the other thing, I like so many different things, and I can't manage to do everything. So, I run in different places. A malach has a singular purpose. Right? Everyone knows a malach, you know, you learn it when you're young. It's one of those things, like there's some few little facts in our lives that if everybody picks up in third grade, and people, you know, everybody knows a malach only has one job, one responsibility. There's a certain clarity in being a malach. The malach is not just the malach that is free from Yetzirah, but the malach doesn't have like so many different tasks in his life. He has one task. He knows exactly what it is. Rafal, he's a doctor. Could you imagine if you were born like that? You know, we had to think about our jobs, what we were going to do with our lives. We had to come to some sort of conclusion and then get there. But a Malach, he doesn't have that. A Malach Gavriel, he's the strong guy. He's in charge of giving those news. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him exactly what he's supposed to do. That's a Malach. On Yom Kippur, what are we? We become Malachim. Our job on Yom Kippur is so clear. This insidious darkness that's been there the entire year, where we can't always see exactly what we're supposed to do. So that's not 100% there on Yom Kippur. You know, sometimes when you get hungry, you start thinking, and the guy wants to tell you the scores or whatever it is. But for most of us, Yom Kippur is a time when I have a singular purpose. There's nothing I can do. I'm not allowed to eat. I'm not allowed to drink. No inui, no pleasures. It's a day that is more singularly focused than any other day of the year. This is what Yom Kippur is. This is what Yom Kippur is. And where is that focus? It's Parshin. All the Mishnayos, all the Gemaras, we talk about tshuva. Really what it is about one thing. It's about Lifnei Hashem Titar. It's all about Lifnei Hashem Titar, that I'm going in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and I have to have this relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and kind of rebuild that tshuva, so to speak. There is a very subtle Rashi in Bav Metzia, in Avodah Zarah, excuse me, where Rashi in Avodah Zarah says the following. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Ashrei Ish Yare Hashem, Ashrei Ish Lo Yare, Lo Ashrei Isha. What, I have to be fear of man, but not fear of woman? Amrav, Ashrei Mi, praiseworthy is those, She'osa Tshuva, Keshehu Ish. Praiseworthy is a man who does Tshuva when he is a man. So what does it mean, Keshehu Ish? Keshehu Bachar, when he's young, Bekochel, it is strength, not necessarily young, but you know, Kiloma Memayer Lahakir Boro, Kodem Yimei. He recognizes what Kadosh Baruch Hu is before he gets old. Now, what's so fascinating about this Rashi? Who davened for old age? You know, there wasn't such thing as old age. People used to sneeze and die, right? But who davened for old age? Adam Avinu. Gemara in Bav Metzia. I think it's Pei Gimel. I didn't look it up beforehand, but I think it's Pei Gimel. Because when you're young, that's when there's more confusion than any other time. You never see old guys pushing in line at the shmork. Right? Either they don't have the strength, they gave up already. But when you get old, you know, it's the saddest thing, right? You know, when you're young, you have to eat healthy because you have to eat healthy, you have to live long. So when you get old, you should be able to fress away. Why not, right? But then you don't have gums, and you don't have an appetite, and you know, you're sitting there and you're eating whatever they have, those powder shakes, and you can barely... Because when you're old, you don't have that Yetzirah anymore. Your Yetzirah dwindles. The chap that Rashi's pointing out is that when you're young, we sometimes lose focus because of our taivas, because of our yetzaharas, because of the shmork, because of the sushi, because of whatever it is. All my yetzaharas are much more prevalent when you're young. That's very normal. Says Rashi in Avodah Zarah, Ashrei Ish, praiseworthy man, Yorias Hashem, that he's able to come back when he's still young, when he has that duality within him. And yet he's able to come back and recognize a Kadosh Baruch Hu with a singular purpose while he's still young. That's what we try to do on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we come back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu with singular purpose. Go back to the mashal of GPS. What makes the GPS the great Shalom Bayis mobile that I always call, right? What is it? It's not just because it tells you where you are. If it told you where you are, that wouldn't be any good, because what does the GPS have to tell you? The GPS has to tell you where you're headed. You know, you have to put in the destination. When you put in the destination, the GPS gets you there. But if you don't put in the destination, what good is the GPS? The GPS is just something, you know, that could give you a bit of, it could tell you where you are, it could tell you, directions to anywhere, but if you don't know where you're going, what's the point of the GPS? So, all year, This darkness that we have, this insidious darkness, whether it's, you know, the full darkness or this darkness where we can't recognize things, what really is that our GPS is not working so well. It's not that it's not working, it's that we don't have a destination. We sometimes lose sight of the destination. But you know what's great about a GPS, which you guys don't know, I don't know if before you guys were, there was a stage we used to use MapQuest, right? And remember MapQuest? So now there's Google Docs, whatever it is. But in the old days, it was MapQuest. So what you do, you put in the thing. But once you made a wrong turn in MapQuest, you were toast. You couldn't redo it. I remember once my wife got lost, and she called me, and I was on the computer. And of course, we only had one phone line, so I couldn't speak to her while she was driving because I didn't have a cell phone, so I had to go to the house phone. So I had to look it up, find out where she was, print the directions again, call back, start the whole process again. Those, now, what do you do when you make a wrong turn? It simply recalibrates you. Yom Kippur is the day where we're recalibrating. It's a total day of recalibration, where the destination is Lifnei Hashem. During the year, the darkness happens, the time of Mesilas Yesharim, and we forget where we're going. Yom Kippur, we have our destination again. And that's what we're yelling at the very end of Yom Kippur. At the very end of Yom Kippur, we all yell what? Exactly what it said in the Navi. Hashem Elokim. The whole year, why are you sitting on two things? I have two destinations, multiple destinations in the GPS. I can't recognize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Comes Yom Kippur. Hashem Elokim. The Rambam says this beferish, pretty much the Rambam says, what is Tshuva Gemura? And at the very end, it says you go through the Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, he says, who omed bahava soba, ubekoach kufo, he stands up again, right? And he does the Avera, meaning he has the opportunity to do Avera again, he doesn't do it. And then at the end is, who sheshal shlema amar v'zachar es barecha. And he remembers the Creator. This idea of, it's not just not doing Averas, it's much more fundamental, much more profound. It's Lifnei Hashem Titar. This is tshuva. This is what tshuva is all about. So now let's go back to what we started. How do we start? We said that Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, those are the two greatest days of the year. There's no greater days of Simcha than Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. So the Gemara says, what's so great? So the Gemara says, Bishlam Yom Kippur, I understand Yom Kippur is great, Mishum to Islay Slicha Mechila, because it has both Slicha Mechila and it's Yom Shinit Nebosh Luchos Achronim. And it's the day that Moshe regot the second Luchos. So if I would ask you, it's a day of Slicha Mechila, it's a day that we got this Luchos Achronis. So you would say, okay, how many reasons are there? You would say two reasons. On the one hand, this is a great day. Yom Kippur is great because I get a restart. I can come once again. And it's also a day that's great because it happens to be the anniversary where we got the Luchos Shnios, and those Luchos Shnios are great. Why? Because those are the Luchos that we still have. Adi Homozeh. Terrific, right? Says Rav Gedalia Shor, beautiful vort. This is a beautiful, beautiful vort. It's the same thing. Luchos Achronos, the second Luchos, plus this idea of Yom Slicha Mechila only happened for the same reason. Because we reconnected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we wouldn't have reconnected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we never would have gotten the second Luchos. And if we don't reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Kippur is not Mechaper. Yom Kippur is Mechaper, but we don't have this second element of reconnecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about reconnecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about recalibrating and refiguring out what our destination is. It's this idea of we once had darkness, and now there's light. There's a simcha, there's a joy. What? Kateres hasfekas. All year there's this doubt, there's the duality, there's both things happening, there's good, there's bad before me. Yom Kippur, ain't simcha kateres hasfekas. So I'll share with you a word I share with a boy tonight, and you'll see what the connection is. So, but how does that stem with Tu B'Av? So the Gemara says there's five reasons for Tu B'Av. Right? We all know, remember as a kid, Tu B'Av, we went to the flagpole. You know, we used to have, remember, like it was 1981, I was a 9-year-old boy. I had no idea what Tu B'Av was. Why should I? They didn't talk about it in school because it was never Tu B'Av in school. So it was only Tu B'Av in camp, and this is before we had classes that day to tell us what Tu B'Av was. But it was the strangest thing. We go out from Mifkad, this used to be this minhag in camp where at 6:45 they woke you. Now they don't wake you until probably 10 o'clock. But in the olden days when they ran camp like, you know, boot camp. So we got up at 6:45 in the morning, and then there was a minhag, you go to the flag. And you went to the flag, and they would have raised the flag, and we would sing the Hatikva, whatever we would do, I don't know. We'd pledge allegiance to the flag. And that morning, all of a sudden, there were 30 girls who came running by wearing white. Like, what was that? I said, that's the minhag, right? That it was Tu B'Av, it was the day, the Shidduch crisis. And so what happened? All the girls would wear white, and all the boys, they would not wear their own clothing, wear somebody else's clothing, and all the boys would pick out a girl. So this is this, you know, we should do it again today and solve the entire Shidduch crisis. So what's the simcha in that? What's the simcha in that? Or it's five other reasons given to Gemara, Gemara Bavli Basra, Gemara Titus, but the major thrust of the day, according to most people at least, is this, it's this Shidduch idea. So what's the simcha? It's the same simcha as Yom Kippur. It's what's the Mitzudas quotes? I was talking to a boy tonight, and the boy was telling me, Baruch Hashem, he's getting engaged. So he's going to have a vort. What's a vort when you get engaged? What is it? Because anybody who's dated for a long time knows there's nothing more torturous than dating. Right? You know, I went out for 1 year, 11 days. But the hardest thing to do is date, because there's such this agmas nefesh of not knowing. You know, especially when you go with a girl for a while, there's this ambiguity. We're not malachim, so we don't get this petek from Kodesh Baruch who tells us, oh, this is the girl you're supposed to marry. It's this ambiguity. But when you finally figure out that this is the girl that you're supposed to marry, and that she's the one for you, after there this back and forth and back and forth, so there's a big simcha when you get engaged. Because what's the simcha of getting engaged? Ein simcha, right? The only the simcha is kataris asfekas. It's the clarification of doubt. There's no bigger doubt than dating and not knowing who, if you're going to marry this girl. And then finally you're able to marry this girl. That's a real simcha. And that's what a vart is. You know, what do we celebrate when there's, you know, people get engaged? You always want, I try not to go to l'chaim for more than 1 minute, right? Because I never know what I'm doing there. I never know what's supposed to happen. You go to l'chaim and Baruch Hashem, you know, you say mazel tov to the chassan, you go over to the kallah, the chassan's parents, the kallah's parents, and you say mazel tov, you exchange pleasantries. Sometimes, you know, you grab a piece of sushi, a cookie, whatever it is, and then you're on your way. But I never understood, what's the, you know, what's, why do we have a vart? It's not like there's a mitzvah attached, it's not a suddas mitzvah, it's not a wedding, it's not a bris. But the vart is that a simcha kateres asfekis. It's a clarification of doubt. It's the same exact simcha of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the doubt is, where am I going all year? I'm going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it comes to Tu B'Av, when it comes to that, the simcha of Shiduchim is, this is the one I'm supposed to live the rest of my life with. That now I know exactly, I have a clarification of doubt, that there was, we spoke about this, you know, 2 weeks ago, that there was a bas kol that went out, stop plon leplon, or, you know, this guy's supposed to marry this girl. Now I figured out who it was. Once I figured out who it was, that's a great joy. It's a great joy in knowing what the destination is. That's the parallel between Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. And that's the joy of Yom Kippur. Just clarification that there's a singular purpose. Hashem Ulakim. There's no longer a Poseach al Shtei Sifim. Guys, this is, you know, I give a little bit of advice to people in dating. So guys come to me and say, I have two names. I say, what are you doing two names with? So once you take a first name, you figure if you want to go out with the girl or don't go out with the girl. And then if you don't want to go out with the girl, you go to the second name. But once you take two names, I must say, the temple said, what are you doing with two people? One destination. It doesn't work otherwise. You know, if you ever want to see comparative decision making, take a look at Ariely. There's a beautiful TED Talk there. This guy Ariely on TED Talks. I don't know if you know TED Talks, if you know TED, whatever it is. Just, if you Google it, you'll see it. It's something I actually show to my Machshava class. It's about the idea to make decisions. Not for now. I think, you know, again, taking this idea of Yom Kippur over to a bias, it's such a simple idea and it's such a critical idea. I always ask, you know, boys when they're dating, you know, they come to me, is this the right girl for me? I don't know. But I always ask, you know, pointed questions. And one of the questions I ask is, do you share a mission statement? What do I mean by that? You know, people always get confused with mission statements. Mission statements, I want to live in Chicago. That's not a mission statement. A mission statement is, what do you view your fundamental purpose on this earth? What's your tachlis? And is the person that you want to marry or think you want to marry, do they share that particular purpose and vision? This is mission. Every company that works well, they're very clear about their mission. Right? They don't think about, if you ask, you know, Apple, what's their mission? They know exactly what their mission is, and everybody who works for Apple is focused on that particular mission in a global way. You know, in the yeshiva, last year, I pushed very hard to do this, that we would sit and write a mission statement for the school. And we all got together, and eventually we came together with some sort of mission. What happens then is that every decision that needs to be made, you have to look at the mission statement and say, does this fit the mission statement or not? You know, sometimes the boy, I don't want to take Jewish history. I'd rather be sitting and learning. So I get upset. Why? I said, if you look at our mission statement, we believe, we're not making you take Jewish history, we want to keep you busy. We believe in the mission statement. So it's very nice that you want to go sit and learn an extra 40 minutes, you take an extra 40 minutes of Shakespeare, whatever you want to do with those 40 minutes. But it's not like we're making you take Jewish history because we want to keep you busy. Those 41 minutes of Jewish history is something very, very valuable. When you learn about Zionism and the Holocaust and how the state of Israel was born, this is a very important idea that is in our mission statement, and that's one of our purposes of existence. And once you know that, it helps you with all your decisions. I think it's true on global levels. I think it's true on familial levels. I think it's true on everything. You know, when you have shalom bias issues, or when you have issues in raising children, so you don't know whether to do A or B. When it becomes contentious is when you don't know what the mission statement is, what you want. But once you know what you want as a mission statement, so then going forward, everything, all the decisions say, wait, which one fits the mission statement more? I'll give you an example that I deal with all the time. And that's with boys going to Eretz Yisrael. The decision-making process is so poor, and I try my best to change it. What do I mean it's poor? This is how a kid decides to go to Israel. They decide one of two ways. They look at the people who are a couple years older than them, and they look, am I similar to them or not? And who am I most similar to? Oh, I'm similar to them, so I'll go. And that's why most people go where their older brothers went, or they go where their good friends a couple years older than them went. That's one way. Well, the other way is they go to Israel, they look and say, I like that yeshiva more. What do you like about it? I don't know. But what's the best way to make a decision? Put together what your goals are, what you want to accomplish, and then once you know the goals and what you want to accomplish, then you find the yeshiva that's going to help you get there. I'll give you a mashal that I always give. I've given this mashal 1,000 times in my life. When you want to go on vacation, how do you decide to go on vacation? You go to the airport, right? In the old days, you go to the airport, I guess, and then decide, right? Or you never do that, but that just works my mashal. You go look at you have two ways. You look at the plane, you see which is the nicer plane. Or you look at the terminal, see where the destination of the plane, and then take the plane towards that destination. How do you make a decision? You don't look at the plane. That's not a healthy way to make a decision. You look at the destination, and once you see the destination, then naturally you'll know which plane to get on. Because you have to have that mission. You have to have that, it's got to be something that's mission statement driven. There's so much work done on this in organizations, but I think families need to sit down. That there needs to be that destination. If you don't have a destination, your GPS is useless. Right? As I go back to that mashal. If you don't know where you're headed, and each, again, this is a very unique idea for each family. Every family should have their own mission. You don't have to write it down, but you should know, like, you know, I believe in this, I believe in that. Whatever your core beliefs are, whatever you believe your tachlis is, you know, some families are chesed families, some families are Torah families, some families are, you know, both, and each one does their own unique thing. That's why the whole feminist movement is krum. Because the whole idea of the feminist movement takes away from what the bias is about. The bias is about each party doing their part to fit the mission of that organization, of the family. The feminist movement is, I have equal rights to you. It's not about it. Of course they're equal. That's a presupposition of what a Jewish bias is about. We believe, of course, in equality, but we don't believe that equality means that everybody's doing the same thing or different. We believe that everybody's an equal partner in that mission. And then figuring out what your mission is and then moving towards it. That, I think, is the lesson of Yom Kippur. That's the joy of Yom Kippur. This is the Simcha of Yom Kippur. This is the Gemara in Tainus. The Simcha of Yom Kippur is that we're eventually getting to the Hashem Elu Hakim. And that's the joy of a Jewish family. This is the connection with Tu Bav and Yom Kippur. So I give everybody a bracha. That as we're davening on Yom Kippur, and as you get closer and closer and closer to the end, to Ne'ilah, that when you yell Hashem Elu Hakim, it shouldn't be one of any suffix. Rather, the Simcha should be that Hashem Elu Hakim, Hashem Elu Hakim. You know, I always say every year, Hashem Elu Hakim is my happiest moment of the year, and it's almost a little bit of my saddest. It's the happiest moment of my year because, like, oh, I'm here, I'm back, I'm at Hashem. But it's also like, I can't believe I got another year to get back to this point. Because there's such clarity when you say the words Hashem Hu Elokim. And as we said from the Mitzudas, that L'olam, the greatest simcha, is that of Kahateras HaSeikas. Have an amazing Yom Kippur and a Gemach HaSeimah Tov.